Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how... What are we here to talk about?
I don't know. Stuff.
We're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, Airbnb for gigs? Yeah, that sounds weird. Talk about how mobile technology is enabling perhaps a new kind of music experience and whether or not that matters. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. So, can you even guess at what this is about, like from what I just said?
No. Airbnb for gigs. Is it like a venue thing or
kinda? Yeah. So, yeah, this is a really this is a little bit of a departure for us, I think, but it's certainly a technology thing. So here's the, I came across this, it's kind of like a Kickstarter video of a guy sort of pitching this idea that he wants, you know, he wants to catch on. And it kind of reminded me of Airbnb for gigs but in a three-way arrangement. So you've got, with Airbnb, you've got people who have, a house or something like that. They've got a room, and you've got people who need a place to sleep. Yeah, they rent it out. So you get sort of two parties in this marketplace. Airbnb is in the middle, allowing people to connect so that, you know, heads can be in beds, right? So it empowers people who own property to, you know, perhaps make some money, perhaps meet some people, whatever their motivations are.
Yes.
Theoretically, this is something that, you know, could just exist. It could exist pre-smartphone, but it really didn't. And
I've used Airbnb a few times now, and just the Airbnb and HomeAway both, and just the app experience just makes it so much easier. And the communication, it really, like, you know, it'd be so much more difficult to have all of that communication and signing of contracts and making of payments and that sort of thing without the websites and apps.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's anyway, I think probably people know what Airbnb is, but this new thing is sort of like that, where you've got people who have either, you know, a big living room or maybe a garage or a yoga studio or a karate studio or something like that. They've got a room, a biggish room, and there are musicians who want to play gigs. They want to, you know, perform in front of an audience. So this kind of connects those two groups in the same way that Airbnb does, but there's a third leg, which is the fans. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of this three-way marketplace where, musicians, I mean, people who have spots, you can imagine. So, well, I don't know, maybe not. I'm a musician, so I can imagine, but you know, maybe you're going to be in New York City for some reason. Maybe you're going to a conference, or maybe you're playing a show, whatever it is. You drag your guitar along with you and you're like, hey, you know, I wonder if there are any, I could play a couple of gigs while I'm here. Maybe meet some new people, maybe sell some CDs or whatever musicians do now.
So like you express interest in playing and then your fans are like, oh yeah, we'll rent out this space for you. Is that how it works?
I think it can be sort of kicked off in any one of the three directions. So I think someone can say, hey, I've got a venue, or I'm sure it's still a new thing. So I don't think it's even fleshed out yet. It's kind of a beta test thing, but I would imagine that it would be all of those things, like, hey, I've got a room available on a particular date or dates or string of dates, like Airbnb would be. Mm-hmm. And fans would be like, oh, you know, it would be great if we could get whatever, Doug McKenzie to come and play in our area, you know? So the mechanics of it are certainly enabled by everyone being connected, and everyone is connected because of mobile phones. Everyone was kind of, not everyone, people were connected in the sort of desktop era, but now almost everybody is connected at this point.
Yeah. You have to put an effort to not be connected at this point.
Mm-hmm. And So I watched this 2-minute video and the guy does it's a good video. It's really well done. And the guy's walking through these really cool, unusual venues that look like it would be sort of fun on their own. Like, oh, I just kind of want to see that place. Like, it's really cool and unusual. And
all right.
And like, huh, imagine that. Imagine back in the day when I was like standing on a street, literally standing on a street corner with my guitar case open. If instead of that, which let me tell you, playing guitar with gloves on isn't easy. So if instead of that, there was like, oh, there are like 35 rooms that are available tonight. And I could just sort of connect perhaps, you know, through the social network of this app, connect with fans that are local or maybe my own fans and say, hey, you know, would anybody show up if I played in West Warwick tonight at 10? And people could be, you know, and you could be like, put it together.
Right. Yeah, this would be great if you had like a very active local music scene.
Sure. Yeah. And it also, I mean, people, it was sort of a little bit after my time, but there was a phase in Providence when a lot of the really cool music clubs all closed. And really the only things left were like these dance party type clubs where there was a DJ or whatever. And it was a drag because it happened while I was in Atlanta. I lived down there for a few years and I came back and I'm like, where do all the awesome clubs go?
Yeah.
There was nowhere to see like a grungy, weird art band from RISD, you know, in a poorly lit dive bar, which used to be. So I don't know. I found that fun, but it wasn't sustainable evidently. So I was kind of like, oh, and then house parties kind of happened. I was like, where's everybody playing? Like, oh, we play at loft parties and stuff like that, but they're private. And people would basically, you know, get a couple kegs and charge 10 bucks at the door and get some musicians and basically have a rent party. And, you know, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to get invited to that. You know, it's a bunch of college kids. And I'm like, at the time, probably in my 30s. So I was like, where do you go see live music really? And so I was like thinking, you know, looking at this, I'm like, man, that might be kind of cool because then you could kind of, you know, technology enabling musicians to connect. And so blah, blah, blah. And in the video there, you know, there's a bunch of sort of montage shots of, you know, like a guy, singer, songwriter guy with a guitar in somebody's living room on a stool and like people sitting around on couches and everybody all like seemed to be enjoying it and everything. So I'm like, oh, this is so wild. I'm like, Cooper was sitting right there. So I show it to him. I'm like, Cooper, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And he watches it. And the look on his face was bewilderment. He was like, he just was like, what is this? And I was like, well,
why is that a thing? Yeah.
Yeah, right. He could not even figure out what was going on. I'm like, well, imagine like, well, I'm like, look, you know, our living room is kind of big and like see that guy playing guitar. Like he could come and play guitar for us. And he's like, there's going to be someone to come over to our house and like play guitar for us. He was just like, he could not get his head around this at all. And I was like, I thought maybe because he doesn't know who the guy is and he was afraid there'd be like a stranger in the house.
Right.
And I'm
right.
Like, well, who's like a famous musician that you know of? Imagine like a famous musician coming here and playing. And he's like, well, like who? And I was like, I don't know. Who do you, you know, I had some ideas, but I was like, well, who do you think is a famous musician?
Right.
And he goes, DJ Janer. And I'm like, DJ Janer is a guy who makes Madness Combat animations. And he does these like soundtracks for his animations, but he's not, you know, he makes music, but he's not a musician.
Not a musician, right.
He's a guy that does instructional videos on YouTube on how to use Adobe Animate, and he creates this background music for it. But that was like the first person Cooper thought of as a musician. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, he's not really a musician. He's like, yeah, he is. Okay. Like, think of someone else. And then he lists off like three more people like that. And I was like, okay, no, I was thinking more like someone you'd hear on the radio. And he's like just confused. And I go, well, what about like Beyonce? Cause I know he knows who Beyonce is because we have a light up decorative llama in the basement that we named Beyonce. And,
okay.
Cause she's, I don't know, it's kind of flashy or something. So yeah, I was like, yeah. So somehow she
makes total sense.
Yeah, obviously. But I know he knows who Beyonce is. And he's like, he's just like completely nonplussed by that idea. I'm like, okay, well, what about, I just couldn't, I was trying so hard to figure out why he couldn't understand the concept at all. And I was like, and I started to realize, I'm like, oh, it's because he can't think of anybody he cares about who's a musician, like what I consider a musician.
Right.
And I was like, what if Dan TDM came here and recorded an episode of Diamond Minecart and his eyes popped out of his head and he was like, can we do that?
you know, he was super excited. I was like, no, I was just, it's an example. I had to like calm him down. He was, he was like, he's like, no, seriously, we should do that. And I'm like, Cooper, I don't think
we can.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
First of all, he doesn't live anywhere near here. Second of all, why would he do that? You know, I don't think that's going to happen. And so then I was
if he is listening.
Right. Dan TDM, Cooper would just love it if you'd come to our house, just hop on a plane and fly here from the UK. And so
record a video.
Yeah. And so then I was like, oh, okay. I see what's going on here is like, when I was his age, my heroes were like musicians, the way that I think of musicians, like someone who played an instrument,
right,
that was the kind of instrument that was popular at the time. So like at the time it was mostly guitar, mostly rock band. So rock band instruments and, you know, maybe acoustic guitar, maybe piano, that, but like the kind of people, trying not to say real musicians, but that stuff. And then I got down this line of thinking and I'm like, oh, well, he's right. Like the people he's talking about as musicians really are, they're like the new kind, you know, and they're utterly and completely enabled by technology. They're not playing instruments in the way we are, were, I should say. But I suppose it's the same argument that someone from 100 years ago would be like, you guys can't read sheet music. You guys, you know, you can't play acoustic guitar. You can only play electric guitar or, you know, I mean, when you think about it, a saxophone is technology.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow. I just felt so old because I was like, wow, he's not wrong. It's not like I think, you know, someone playing acoustic guitar in your living room is the pinnacle of musical artistic expression.
Yeah, that's like a typical weekend for me in high school. I mean, obviously not a famous person, but
yeah.
Like friends getting together and parties and music on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was a thing we did.
Yeah.
And even though Cooper takes music lessons, like he's in piano lessons and we play stuff, and he's kind of like, he kind of likes it, but I know he would stop if it wasn't for us being like, no, it's, you know, you got to go practice piano.
Yeah.
But there's something. And this is why I think it's relevant to the show. There's something so that I'm tempted to be super depressed about there, but honestly, I think it's just natural progress. But
yeah, I get where you're coming from. And actually I kind of wondered that the whole time as you were going through that. I was like, oh, well, this is, yeah, it's changing there. And I kind of agree that I'm not sure that's for the good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe good is not the right word. Maybe it's not subjective like that, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you can imagine, like, I remember you pick a musical phase, mm-hmm. and I can point to a giant group of people who were like, that's not music.
Right.
Anything. Beatles, Nirvana, you name it. That's not music. There's plenty of people who you could find who'd be like, it's not like universally accepted that, oh, that's music, or especially that it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Sonic Youth.
I mean, much like any art. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, you know, Kira plays drums and dabbles with saxophone and a couple of other little things and plays music in the school band and enjoys it. But then she also sits down at the computer with, like, you know, software and mixes stuff and, like, puts together things and just, like purely on the computer. And, I mean, she can create much more layered and complex things on the computer than she can by just physically playing the instrument she knows how to play, even though she knows how to play several at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So the new tools unlock a different kind mm-hmm. of exploration that you can do. Like it allows you to, I mean, it just the difference between like a terrible, you know, $15 acoustic guitar that you got at a pawn shop and like a $4,000 Martin is like that increase in technology, if you will, like the better tool will allow you to do things that you on the nicer guitar that you, even if you were great, you couldn't do on the piece of junk guitar.
Right.
So if you kind of, and like, it's very easy for me to not be freaked out by that. Like the tool makes your ability to express whatever you're trying to do easier. So if you follow that curve, that's where it starts to get scary for me because it gets into this space where the tool is so different almost unrecognizably different from like a bad guitar compared to a good guitar, or even an acoustic right. guitar compared to an electric guitar, which is another great example. You can do stuff on an electric guitar that is not possible on an acoustic.
Right. You end up comparing like a snare drum to Logic Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then you're like, and there's this gut knee-jerk reaction that I have that's like, oh, well, that's not real music, or that's not valid, or that doesn't count. And it start, and then, but I know immediately, I know that I'm wrong, because I used to be the one who's getting that finger pointed at me.
So, I think I know why that is. I think I know why it feels like it's quote unquote not real music, because it's just, especially for people like us, it's learning to use software and then using your musical theory skills to you and manipulating that software to create things. Whereas playing music with an instrument requires physical skill with your hands and breathing techniques and things like that, mm-hmm. versus just using a piece of software.
Mm. Interesting. It does feel much more abstract, mm-hmm. but it doesn't to Cooper. It doesn't feel abstract to him at all. It's in fact, he's way better at making music on the computer than he is on the piano.
Right.
So, I mean, I should put it like this. He's much more confident doing it on the computer than he is on the piano. And I'm just trying to get my head all the way. So like intellectually, I know, I believe that there's nothing intrinsically more musical about creating something on a, you know, playing something on a piano or doing it on a computer. Well, there is actually a nuance here that I just noticed, which is that in my experience, fairly rare exceptions, the stuff that you're creating on the computer is a combination of composition and recording simultaneously, mm-hmm. where performing on, you don't perform it, where, so the parallel would be a little bit more like, you know, if we compared like creating the background music for a video game or something like that, or an animation on the computer is kind of equivalent to going into the studio and recording you playing piano.
And, right. It's not the same as sitting down and playing it.
Right. And so you're kind of the piano player and the engineer behind the soundboard at the same time, and the mastering guy or all of the things. And I don't know if you've ever been in a recording studio, but even before it was computerized, it was a very, very complicated place, you know, wires everywhere and microphones and sliders and knobs and vacuum tubes and, you know, a lot of technology in there.
Yeah, it feels more like engineering the music rather than creating it.
Right. Or performing it.
Performing it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, when I think about it like that, all of a sudden I feel, it makes me feel a lot better. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's always been, because really it's your engineering. That's a great way to put it. I love that you put it like that. It's you're engineering the music. You're not performing it. So then the next natural question is like, well, does music performance start to go away? Bet you it does.
I don't know if it will go away, but I don't think it will be, you know, it's not going to be the only way people get music.
I mean, think about it. When was the last time you were at a live musical performance? Well, I asked the wrong person.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. For me, it's been a very long time. And probably the last few times it was me playing.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, the last time I was at a concert that was not, you know, put on by a bunch of students was probably 10 years.
Yeah. And that's true. I did go to a Cooper's piano recital at Halloween, but yeah, like the last time I went to a show, like professional musicians or even, you know, struggling professional musicians is probably before Maggie was born. You know, it was like 4 or 5 years ago and it was a lark, you know, it was just like, oh yeah. And then a few times I've jammed with people in between, maybe a dozen times and then Cooper's piano recital.
Right.
It's like, do I feel like, and believe me, I don't feel like music's missing from my life. Erica's got Pandora running 24/7 in the house.
Yeah, exactly. We always have music going around here.
Right. But it's all recorded. You know, it's like the engineered, the kind of packaged up echo of a performance. Or maybe, oh, this is funny, because now I can think back to when drum machines first became popular and loops and synthesizers. And there was a group of musicians who were really freaking out about the fact that, like, they were cool with the concept of recording a live band, but then there was some sort of philosophical difference between that and producing I want to say recording, but the problem with them, problem they would have was it with it is that the recording contained things that were never actually played. Mm. And that was a big dividing line between that was like a, you know, Spaces versus Tabs fight in the music space where yeah. they were like, well, oh yeah, sure. But nobody ever actually played that. You just made it up.
Right.
In the computer or in the synthesizer or in the software. It's not real. It didn't really happen. And I think that's funny because when recording technology came around, there was a similar rift, which was that was a watered down experience. And really what the best way to encode music was on sheet music so that it would, you know, would be distributed around to people's homes and they would perform it live around the piano or with guitars in their homes. And that's the real music experience.
That's the real music because everyone has the skill to do that. Mm-hmm. And the resources. Yeah.
A lot more people did, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously the best way to experience... Well, I started to say the best way to experience music is live, but is it?
It's hard to... Right. It's hard to...
you can go to a concert and you have this cool experience, but you're probably not going to be hearing the music as well as you would be if you were sitting at home with a nice pair of studio monitors and a quality recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And so then it comes down to... I mean, if we wanted to, I could go like, we've talked about this before, but it pretty quickly gets to the question of what's music for? Mm-hmm. And, you know, which, you know, it's not an uncommon question. What's art for? Like, couldn't we just not have it? I'm not suggesting that's what I think, but that's a question that people ask. And with music, it's like, well, what's it for? What would you miss if it was gone? Like, what kind of hole would it leave? And if you think about it like that, and if you really think about it like big picture, if you think of, let's call them notes just for the sake of having something to talk about, but like sounds that are considered musical.
Okay.
We're talking, but this isn't not music. There are musical qualities to it, but it's not, no one really classified as music, but let's just call notes. Let's say notes in the air, irregular vibrations in the air.
Okay.
That are one way of encoding emotions and transmitting them to another person. So you could think of it, even music without lyrics, you could say, you know, the person who composed it is trying to express a feeling. They're trying to trigger an emotion in the listener. They're trying to cause people to dance. They're trying to cause people to cry. They're trying to cause people to rise up and fight the machine, you know, whatever.
I mean, imagine Lord of the Rings without the soundtrack.
Oh, it's just, it takes all the emotion out of it. So it's a way to transmit emotions that is it's optimized for transmitting emotions.
Mm-hmm. Cross platform.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cross language. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Cross culture. Yeah. Cross culture,
right. So, okay, as long as we're doing that, isn't that fine? Like, or to put it another way, if transmitting emotions with notes, air quote notes, that you created inside of a software program is more effective than, you know, clunking around on the keys of a saxophone, it's really hard to argue that one's better than the other. You know, it's like if what you're trying to do is working, you know, if the right. emotions are getting across to the other, to the listener, then it's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the subjective part there is going to be whether or not it's better. And, you know, I don't think there's a good answer for that.
Right. So it's kind of like, you know, I've given lots and lots of talks at conferences or workshop. Workshop's an even better example because you're really specifically trying to teach somebody something. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of it, like you can know your topic cold, but that doesn't mean that you can get it across.
Right.
And
there are lots of things I know that I can't talk intelligently about.
Yeah, it's just brutal. And because you got to figure out, it's just way more, you got to figure out how to say it. Mm-hmm. For it to make sense. And
you got to figure out how to explain it to someone who doesn't know it as well as you do. That's
right.
Hard.
Yeah, curse of knowledge, right? So you can't even remember what it was like to not know this. So how do I even, right. where do I even start?
Yeah, exactly.
So the idea, I think that it gets super philosophical, but it's like if you're creating music and you want it to you want it to have an effect on the listener, I suppose the thing that I would use, I wish I was this self-aware back when I was actually playing all the time, the the litmus test for whether or not I was doing a good job as a musician would be whether or not I was getting the desired behavior or a response. That's the word, response from the audience. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh man, I nailed that.
Did I nail that part?
I nailed that part. I was so good. That was impressive. You know what I mean? That's unfortunately.
Yeah, like, maybe you did, but if no one cared.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it worked. I did. And no one cared. Like that's basically was my musical career summed up in a sentence.
Yeah. And this is why you.
Yeah. It's like consulting. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, that's why it's like the Doctor Who thing. It's like, I'm over here being very clever and you guys are standing around not noticing.
Yeah.
So it's not a good way to get, not a way to get a big music career off the ground is to ignore your audience. Anyway, the point is, I think if there was some reason to even bother judging it, or it probably the real thing that I'm talking about here is for me is that I'm trying to come up with a way for me to not think the new stuff is worse. Try not to turn into the old man and be like, get off my lawn, you kids and their loud music. You know, it's like, well, you know, because I have to like, you know, we have kids, so it's like, you have to set rules and, you know, and I don't want to force him to play piano if that's like not his gig.
Right, right. If he wants to make music on the computer instead or I mean, you know, not make it or whatever. Mm,
right. So I don't know. But it's really, I'm having a really hard time letting the technology, the current normal ubiquitous technology, be the thing on which music is made, because that's not where you make music. You make music at a piano. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think you need to make the distinction between playing an instrument and making music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because playing an instrument does require a completely different set of skills and a different mindset and approach and, which has value in its own right. Mm-hmm. That's not the same as making music on the computer, but like the instrument is just the tool you use to make music. You're not making music by playing. I mean, you can play an instrument without making music.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
A recording, I've never heard replayable, like record kind of thing. Man, the language is kind of insufficient for this, but I do know what you mean. Yeah. So like I know that there are plenty of really high tech, you know, software and computers and really, really special purpose computerized instruments that are used in live performance. I'm not as aware of them, but I know they exist. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool, dear listener, if you know about, because what I'm picturing is like, where's the smart piano? And I don't mean like a player piano, and I don't mean one of those cheesy synths from like Target, but like, where's like a smart piano that does something, you know, like, what's a piano like with like AI inside, connected to the cloud and AI inside? What could that do? How could we enhance the performance aspect of music with technology? Because I can't think of any obvious examples, and none are coming to mind of that particular scenario. It's all like the engineering side in like taking mm-hmm. sounds. Like it's much more like desktop publishing back when page layout programs first happened. It's like, here's a score, fill it in. I wonder. Like bionic fingers, something like that.
I'll look up something real quick.
What's this?
It's a game that you play by, like you get a like a deck of cards basically, and you have this platform, and the deck of cards, I assume, works through NFC or something.
Wait a second. Okay, so is this? So we'll back up a second.
Okay. Okay.
So introduce. So you just texted me a link. Like, what's the story?
The story is, it's a game by Hasbro and Harmonix called Drop Mix. And from what I've seen looking at videos and stuff, because I was looking into getting it, basically you have like this platform that you hook up to your tablet and run the smartphone app on your tablet. And then on this platform, you drop cards from a deck of cards and you can buy expansions and additional decks and that sort of thing. And each card has encoded in it somehow like this loop or lyrics or just bit of a song, and you throw them down on this board essentially, and like it does some computer magic to like automatically mix them and things like that. And then there's special effects you can add to it and through cards and that sort of stuff.
Wild.
Yeah.
That is cool. Like that, because the one of the things that I've always, and I don't think this is just me, I don't think I'm being an old fart here, but one of the things that is really, I find really not as good about some of the computer stuff is that the interfaces are not nearly as responsive as like, you know, a guitar string, you know, fretboard and all that stuff. So like you can be expressive in a much different way on a guitar that is not possible on a computer because of latency and response time and just the digital nature of it, the abstraction. So to have like a physical, some kind of physical interface is a very cool idea.
Yeah. Like I know Kira has a MIDI keyboard that's pressure sensitive.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's the kind of thing. Yep. So like Maggie's got this game that she loves. It's like an iPad game. And at the bottom, it's almost, there's like a row of these little cartoon, these sort of funny looking cartoon guys. Mm-hmm. And they're really, it's like a box of sardines or like colored pencils, but there's like these really skinny guys and they all have like a different outfit on. And they're grouped kind of by color and of their outfit and the kind of outfit they have on. And each one makes, there's like this loop going, this timer going, and each one's got a different noise that they make. And it's all mouth sounds, but they'll be percussive or like a flute-like or whatever. And she drags them into the main area. And when the time point goes by, the guy will make his little bloop or whatever.
Right.
She just loves that. And he makes a face and he kind of moves. He does his little part. And it's like creating this really weird kind of chorus.
Funky little, yeah.
And she just loves it, but it's just, you know, just sliding your finger on glass. It's like not very accurate or
expressive.
From a physical standpoint, it's not that engaging. I mean, none of this touchscreen stuff is really that engaging. It's just like this glass sliding, you know, you don't feel anything. There's no texture. There's no nothing. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of having like cards or even if there was a whole bunch of all sorts of shapes or whatever that you could kind of like arrange.
Yeah.
And that would be so cool.
Or like that Spec Drums Kickstarter I showed you a while back.
You have to jog my memory.
There were like little rings that you put on your fingers and you tap different colors.
Oh, yeah.
Different musical instruments and things. Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah, that also seemed cool.
Interesting. Well, dear listener.
we've kind of strayed here, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the technology is affecting everything, every part of society and culture, and it's just increasing. And so, of course, it's going to completely change the way music is created. It certainly changed the way music is sold.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, why wouldn't it change the way music is created?
Yeah.
Or even what's considered music or where music even exists or the purpose that music, you know, in a particular context, the purpose of music, what it's even there for. Yeah. It's like crazy. I'm just trying. Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. It was like a therapy session for me to come to grips with Cooper being like, what, why would we have a guy playing guitar? I don't even know who he is.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And then naming off like YouTubers as YouTubers making animation soundtracks as musicians. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at the time I wanted to say to him, like, no, those are just celebrities that you want to meet. And then I was like, well, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I kind of wanted to meet Eddie Van Halen pretty bad, you know, like as if I wasn't exactly the same when I was younger. It was
right.
Anyway, I was like, oh, Eddie Van Halen's cool. What does he do? He plays guitar. I'm going to play guitar because I want to be cool. Like Cooper's the exact same way with Dan TDM or any of the other ones.
Right.
So get ready, oldsters in the audience. I'm sure all the young people are just rolling their eyes.
Probably so, yeah.
Send in the email. Send us a tweet at us and tell us how old we are and like what's actually happening in music these days because we're totally out of touch, obviously. At least I am. All right, you want to wrap her up?
Yeah, this is probably a good place too.
All right. That's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.